بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في قرآن مجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. خلق الإنسان في أحسن تقويم. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: الصيام جند، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected ulama ikram, my brothers in Islam, firstly we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with iman. We praise Allah jalla majdahu for blessing us with Islam. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making us from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. From this platform, other ulama ikram must have come and spoken and will still speak about fasting. We are still continuing with our discussion on Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. We have mentioned to some degree and extent about his life, his character, his personality, and mentioning clearly that all Anbiya alayhi salam, they are masoom, they are innocent, and we have to defend them, protect them, their status, position. Every Nabi came, and when that Nabi came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed that Nabi with the miracle suited for that time. Suited for that time. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when he came, then during that time, magic was at its peak. Let alone magic, Firaun was the expert in that. And Firaun was like the head teacher. He was the big rector in that. That is why when Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, when he threw down that staff and he turned into a serpent, then he, Allah Ta'ala records his statement, he says that I taught him this. Why? Because let alone magic being the issue of the day, but he said he is the big teacher. When Hazrat Isa alayhi salam came down, then at that time medical progress and medical advancement was at its peak. That is why Allah Jalla Majdahu blessed Hazrat Isa alayhi salam with the miracles of letting the blind see, curing the leper, and blowing onto the clay bird, and life should come, it should fly away. Raising the dead. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, he gives the Nabi of that time some extra. Let alone current, but he gives them some extra. For example, in the time of Musa alayhi salam, he blessed Hazrat Musa alayhi salam with the hand. When Hazrat Musa alayhi salam should place his head under the armpit and take it out, it should shine. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, the extra was, he was able to tell them that what they were storing in their homes. What they were storing in their homes. During the time of beloved Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the eloquence in Arabic was at its peak. That is why Quran Kareem was given to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was blessed with thousands of miracles. Some person may say, how come thousands? Ulama have documented and written various kitabs, and thousand miracles of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 100 miracles of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some ulama ikram have written 10,000 miracles of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very easy. Quran al-Kareem in its whole entirety is a miracle. And when you count the ayats of Quran al-Kareem, every ayat of Quran al-Kareem, every ayat of Quran al-Kareem is a miracle. So there are 6,666 ayats of Quran al-Kareem. So alhamdulillah, you got already 6,666 miracles of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Hazrat Isa alayhi salam came, then he had to deal with four types of people: the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the Kahins, and the Ahbar, the rabbis. These were four categories of people he had to deal with. And these four categories, they had their own evil desires, beliefs, ideologies. The first group, they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has left man on the surface of the earth. We do good, we get rewarded, and someone does evil, that person is punished, and everything happens on the surface of the earth. There is no such thing as akhirat. There is no such thing as a person will have a day of accountability. There is no such thing as a day of retribution. There is no such thing as a person is going to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do what you want here. And previously we are saying clearly that every Nabi, without fail, they taught three basic things: the fundamentals of deen, the usul of deen, that is tawheed, risalat, and akhirat. Every Nabi, without fail, if you look at Quran al-Kareem and the teachings of the Anbiya alayhi salam, every Nabi taught these three. So obviously Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is going to be teaching the belief that there is going to be accountability, day of judgment, and there is going to be retribution. The other group, they said that no, we also say good and bad is for the surface of the earth, but they said we will seclude ourselves, and they should seclude themselves as monks, and decided that total seclusion is for them. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that La Rabbaniya fi Deen, that there is no total seclusion in Deen. See, even etiquette that is going to start next Friday, inshallah, even etiquette is not total seclusion. I remember clearly some years ago we received a phone call that please quickly write something on etiquette, because the brother who is sitting for etiquette, they don't allow him to come out of his tent. They told him, you're in etiquette in the masjid, you sit inside, don't talk to anybody, and don't move. So this person here, he sent out a signal to us that please write something quickly. So we had to write a lengthy article proving that, listen, in etiquette, you can come out of your tent and you can talk with people, let alone that, respected elders, that this is the masla even, that if you are sick, the doctor can come and attend to you also. Let alone that, your family can come and visit you while you're in etiquette. Meaning if your wife was to come and visit you in etiquette and she is cleared properly, she can come and visit you in etiquette. Obviously, you cannot do anything. You will talk to her and she can go away. Why? Our deen is practical. Our deen is easy. And this concept of total seclusion, that is not a natural composition of mankind. So what these people should do in the time of Isa alayhi salam, and still up to date they do it, they go into total seclusion but commit the worst of crimes, the worst immorality activities they should engage in. Why? Because they were under this cloak and dagger. Under this cloak and piety, worst of crimes are committed. These days too, you will find lot of Muslim and non-Muslim under the cloak and under the garb of piety and under the disguise of piety, the worst of crimes are committed. You fully know what I'm talking about. Then they had another group. This group was a commercializing group. They should control the churches and they should control the activities in the church. So they had invented customs, rituals, sacrifices, donations, charities, so that they could feed themselves. Up to date we have this also. Again, across the floor, we have commercialization of religion. And unfortunately, it now filters into our domain also, that you have those who are trying to commercialize deen. Remember, also in history, at one stage they were making tawaf of the Kaaba absolutely naked, because they felt the clothing they were wearing was haram. But someone decided, no, let's commercialize this activity. What they decided, and this was prior to Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam preaching to them modesty and haya and shyness. They should have outside the haram a shop having clothing. So the person should come, take out the clothing that he classified as haram, then he should rent clothing and make tawaf. Again, commercializing. Rather said that our high industry of current now, that is also highly commercialized. So commercialized that for the poor man to go for Hajj is becoming virtually impossible. Who to blame? Respected elders. Then they had a fourth group in the time of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And this group, they should look at the affairs of the public and virtually alter and interpolate the deen. They should make legal decisions and rulings to suit the public, provided the public, especially the affluent, they should pay. And when they pay, then they should alter, make halal, haram, haram, halal. And they should abrogate, they should change, they should add, subtract, according to the money they were receiving, according to the monetary gain they were obtaining. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this in various places in Quran al-Kareem, that selling of the deen, selling of the ayat, selling of the laws for petty, monetary, fleeting gains. So Hazrat Isa alayhi salam had to contend to these people and preach and propagate to these people. Respected elders, now as far as Hazrat Isa alayhi salam is concerned, we must understand that the current Bibles that are existing, originally they were 100, then it came down to 21. Then according to Rousseau and Voltaire, he said that they had a very big conference. They placed the Bibles on the table. This is their research, not ours. They say they began to shake it and say, the one that remains, that is the authentic. I have a few basic things. That all the Bibles, the Gospel of Luke, Mark and Matthew and John, four of them, were not written during the time of Isa alayhi salam. Second point, that they were written hearsay. People narrated things, these scholars of the Bible wrote it. Thirdly, that four out of four of them never see Isa alayhi salam. Fourthly, that
You do not have to be a great debater to know that these are not authentic. Anybody presenting to you a Bible, you ask, where's the original? Where's the original? For example, if there is a translation of Quran al-Kareem, translation of Quran al-Kareem in any language, whether it is English, French, whether it is Zulu, Xhosa, Swahili, whatever language it is, then if someone has to ask that this is English translation, actually this word translation also is not so good. I like the one scholar statement. He said this is the shadow meaning of Quran al-Kareem, not the real meaning of Quran al-Kareem. Translations cannot actually give the true meaning of Quran al-Kareem. It is an attempt by scholars to try to tell us that this is what Quran, what Allah is saying. Because the purity is in the Arabic language. And those, alhamdulillah, ulama who study the Arabic language, that they will understand the beauty, the eloquence of the Arabic language. That is why you will find sometimes the alim will quote one ayat and then he will get involved in the Arabics of it, in the grammar of it, and in the beauty of the language. Respected elders, so Quran al-Kareem, if you say somewhere this is the English of Quran, the person says, where's the original? You say, there's the original, there's the Arabic. So we got the Arabic, we got the original, we got the source. Now as far as the Bible is concerned, if you have to tell the person who comes to you and says, listen here, this is the translation, you ask him, where's the original? All the scholars, Bible scholars of the entire world will never produce the original. The original does not exist. Now when the original does not exist, how you can say that this is the faithful, true translation? Faithful, true translation of what? This is the translation of which work? Is it Greek? Is it Hebrew? What is the original language? That also they cannot even tell us. So respected elders, one person, he went to one scholar, Shah Muhaddis Delhi Rahmatullah Alayhi, and he told him that, see, what is the status of your Nabi? That when his grandson was in Karbala, when his grandson was in Karbala, he could not do anything about it. So Shah Sahib replied to him that, I do not want to go into the academic discussion of this. However, that you say that Jesus is Son of God, then where was God when Jesus was on the cross? What was he doing at that time? He could not help his own son. And you're talking about Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his grandson. Respected elders, it is part of our belief that Hazrat Isa Alayhi Salaam will come back. Understand something, that history of the Anbiya alayhi salam has passed through two stages. One is from Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam to Hazrat Lut alayhi salam. And the general rule there was, the period between Nuh alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam, when those Anbiya alayhi salam preached and propagated to their communities, and if they rejected it, and if they denied it, and if they mocked at the Nabi, then the punishment of Allah physically came for them. Study Quran al-Kareem, study the ayat, study the stories of the Anbiya between Nuh alayhi salam and Lut alayhi salam, that when those communities and nations decided to rebel and reject the teaching of that Nabi, then the punishment came by thunder, lightning, turning those places upside down. All those things happened. Then came the time between Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam. That duration, the various Anbiya alayhi salam that preached and propagated during that time, then that Nabi decided people are not accepting, he'll migrate, he'll make hijrat. So if you look at Quran al-Kareem, the stories of the Anbiya alayhi salam, you'll see Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam migrating, Musa alayhi salam migrating, Isa alayhi salam constantly moving around, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi salam migrating, making hijrah. Why? That the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not descend.
another point, respected elders, why Hazrat Isa alayhi salam must come and not Hazrat Musa alayhi salam? Why Hazrat Isa alayhi salam must come? Ulama have written that the Jews, they were waiting for a Messiah, a Messiah. They were waiting. And in their minds, they also had that the Messiah will be either good person or bad person. In their scriptures, their documents, they also know that there will be two Messiahs. One good, one bad. Second point, that it was their habit, it was inborn in them, that يَقْتُلُونَ الْأَنْبِيَا بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ, that they were killing the Anbiya alayhi salam unjustly. It was part and parcel of their life, like a hobby they had made, killing the Anbiya alayhi salam. Now, see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all wise. Every word Allah uses in Quran Kareem is definite, specific, and Allah is fully knowing why He is using such a word. Allah is using the word Anbiya. These Jews were killing the Anbiya. From this platform, I have explained to you that there is a difference between a Nabi and a Rasul. A difference between a Nabi and a Rasul. And Nabi singular, Anbiya plural. These Jews, when they saw Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, and when he now, alhamdulillah, began to preach and propagate, fall towards Allah and Risalat and Akhirat, jealousy, which is inborn in them also, took the better of them. And then they said, we have been killing Anbiya alayhi salam, we haven't killed a Rasul. We haven't killed a Rasul, so we will not make an attempt to kill the Rasul of Allah. That is why they went at great length to prepare and to plot how to go about to assassinate Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. When you look at the events and the documents available, how they went about it, how they plotted against coming to where Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, tracing him, spying, investigating, interrogating, and putting their military into effect, then surrounding the house of Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, moving the spies in, and then trying to come to him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He raises Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. Now, at that stage, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, they were now leaving behind the Jews. The Jews who firmly believed that they had killed Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says that they haven't killed him. وَمَا قَتُلُهُ. They haven't killed him. And understand, in Quran Kareem, wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word abd, abd, it will mean body and soul. And wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word couple, it will refer to killing of the body and the soul. It will refer to killing of the body and soul. You go check it up. That everywhere in Quran Kareem, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word abd, subhanallazi asra bi abdihi, all praise due to Allah, all glory to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who took his abd, his servant, bodily and spiritually for miraj. Not only spiritually, bodily and spiritually. And kafir, whatever the word kafir is used, the verb, it will mean killing of a body and a soul. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is saying that they haven't killed him. So the Jews are refuted. And now the Christians progressively retrogressed. And they went towards the teachings of Paul, interpolated the Bible, corrupted everything, and brought the concept of Trinity. So, Hazrat Isa alayhi salam has to come back primarily to address these two nations and tell them that, listen, the Jews, I was not crucified as you think and believe and you idolize and you are propagating. No way, I was not crucified. And to the Christians telling them, see, your concept of Trinity is completely false
and completely batil, it is not valid. One person phoned me, he tells me that no, Trinity is valid. So what Trinity is valid? He said, you see, in everything you have got a length, a breadth, and you got a width. Everything you look at is, has got these three things. Therefore, Trinity is valid. I said, oh, this is fantastic. Now, that, in that case, because you are trying to explain one biblical verse, they have got a biblical verse saying God created the earth and the skies in 6 days and rested tired on the seventh day on his throne. That means he seated himself on the throne tired on the seventh day. I said, that verse has got many flaws and defects. First of all, that you're saying that God is confined to a place. God is confined to a place. And that is not very good for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or God, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees everything, every time, all the time. And also you say that he is tired. And if God is tired, then what about mankind? If he's tired, he's prone to sleep. And the quality of God is that he must not sleep. Now some Muslims also, when they are translating Istawa alal arsh, Istawa alal arsh, they unfortunately propagate and preach and misinterpret that ayat, and they also erroneously, blasphemously, I repeat, blasphemously confine Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to a throne, and that is un-Islamic in nature. May Allah ta'ala grant us ability to understand this deen and practice upon this deen. Sunday by Sunday, it will be, I think, the 15th fast. Before we know what happened, this month will pass without us doing anything. Are we regular in Salat? Are we regular in Taraweeh? Are we regular in Tahajjud? Are we regular in Quran Tilawat? Are we regular in making zikr and reciting durood upon Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Are we following Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? One small incident before I close, that once I was in Johannesburg, one person came to me and told me that, give me 1 minute, you're preaching Christianity. Give me 1 minute. I said, I'm busy, I don't want to talk to you. He said, give me 1 minute, please. So I said, okay, if I give you 1 minute, you give me 1 minute. I said, okay. So he began to preach and say, Jesus Christ is the Savior, you have to go through Jesus Christ, and he's the Master, and you have to follow him, and all those, giving me that speech. So, all right. So then, when he finished, I told him, you finished? He said, yes. I said, okay, you give me 9 minutes. He said, yes. I said, see, that person on the cross, that person on the cross, you say he's Jesus Christ. He said, yeah. I said, see, we don't believe in that, but you believe that's Jesus Christ. He said, yes. I said, see that person on the cross, see him and look at me. Who looks like him, you or me? So he's looking at me, he said, what are we? I said, see, who he looks like? He said, you got a beard, I got a beard, you got no beard. He got long hair, I have long hair, you got no long hair. I said, he's got a long garb on, I got a long garb on, you got no garb on. I said, so who looks like the person? I said, what do you say? I said, there is a rule in life. When you love someone, you follow someone. When you love someone, you follow someone. Now, respected elder, I told him, see, I love Jesus Christ more than you love him. That's why I look like him. You are claiming that you love him. You don't look like him. Respected elders, look at ourselves in the mirror. Who we look like? We look like Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as portrayed in the ahadiths, or we look like some enemies of Islam? If we look like some enemies of Islam, Ramadan is the month to change. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.